there is a word from the Lord. You that have your Bibles, we're going to be in the book of Jeremiah chapter 20. Jeremiah chapter 20. Amen. Armor bearer, we thank God for my armor bearer today. Amen. Sister Janiah Simmons. And if you can get me some water, amen. Thank you. Amen. Jeremiah chapter 20. Want to lift up verses, thank you, verses 7 through, till I'm finished. Jeremiah chapter 20, beginning at verse number 7. I'm reading from the New International Version of the Scripture, and this is how my Bible reads. Jeremiah chapter 20, beginning at verse number 7. O Lord, you deceived me, and I was deceived. You overpowered me and prevailed. I am ridiculed all day long. Everyone mocks me. Whenever I speak, I cry out, proclaiming violence and destruction. So the word of the Lord has brought me insult and reproach all day long. But if I say I will not mention him or speak any more in his name, his word is in my heart like a fire. Fire, shut up. My bones, I am wary of holding it in. Indeed, I cannot. I hear many whispering, terror on his side. Report him, let's report him. All my friends are waiting for me to slip, saying perhaps he will be deceived. Then we will prevail over him and take our revenge on him. But the Lord is with me like a mighty warrior. So my persecutors will stumble and not prevail. They will fail and be thoroughly disgraced. Their dishonor will never be forgotten. This is the word of God for the people of God. Glory be to God. Let us bow our heads in a word of prayer. Our Lord and our God, we thank you for this day.
Thank you, Lord.
We thank you, God, for all of your wonderful blessings. We thank you, God, for the sweet spirit that is in this place. And God, we know it is the spirit of the Lord. God, I pray for preaching power. God, that you would hide me behind the cross of Calvary. That you just won't send the anointing that will make preaching easy, but God, make it effective. Pray, God, that this word will fall on good ground.
Yeah.
That somebody might be saved, delivered, and others set free. This is your servant's prayer. And all the people of God said amen.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I often think about this Christian journey that we're on that sometimes feels like a trip. Yeah, somebody got it. The people of God, you know, we experience disappointment and sometimes become discouraged.
Well,
amen, somebody. Amen. There is a misconception among those who are babes in Christ that believe if you are under the ark of safety, that you are exempt from life's many heartaches and struggles. Nevertheless, those who are seasoned saints. Yeah. Those who have been on the battlefield for a while know that this is not the case. Those who have been walking with the Lord know that we live in a storm cycle. We are either in a storm, coming out of a storm, or going into a storm. I mean, I believe that's why David said in Psalm 34:19, for many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivered him out of them all. What David was really saying, pastors, that it doesn't matter how holy you are, doesn't matter how saved or sanctified you are, trouble will find you. Disappointment will come down your street. Pain and suffering will knock on your door. Come in uninvited and stay too long. I'm trying to tell you that you can live right and still go through. Come here, Job. According to God, Job was perfect and Job was upright. In other words, Job lived the life that pleased God. I said he lived a life that pleased God, and God actually nominates Job for suffering. He lost everything he had. You know the story. He had some afflictions. But you do remember David said God is able to deliver us out of them all. I believe that if Job was here today, he would testify and say, I'm a witness. Because my latter years were more blessed than the beginning. Days. Amen, somebody. And we're going to have some bad days. You know the songwriter said we're going to have some sunshine. And Minister Tracy, we're going to have some rain. There's going to be some joy and there's going to be some pain. But that's all right, because I heard the songwriter say, whatever comes my way, my answer will still be yes. Yes to his will and yes to his way and yes to his word. I don't know about you. I feel like Paul said, for I am persuaded. Whatever comes my way, nothing shall be able to separate me from the love of God. So don't allow the enemy to cause you to question your walk with the Lord, because sometimes your clouds hang low. I heard a preacher say that even Superman wasn't always Superman. He was Clark Kent. God help me today. We got to just keep doing the work that God has called us to do. And you got to let your haters become your motivators. Help me, Holy Ghost. Yeah, we may sometimes feel as though, watch this, that the strong winds of adversity will break us. Trust God. We may get bent, but we won't be broken. So it is right here in our text, Jeremiah, that weeping prophet. He goes to God with some complaint and then some praises. Complaining and praising is an unusual combination. It is almost as though Jeremiah is exhibiting bipolar characteristics. I didn't say he was bipolar. I'm simply suggesting that some of his characteristics are similar to those people with bipolar. Because Jeremiah says in verse 7, he says, oh Lord, thou hast deceived me. He says, and I was deceived. Jeremiah was saying to God, he says, God, you tricked me. God, you pulled the wool over my eyes. You persuade me to undertake this prophetic office, and now you are hanging me out to dry. It's right here in the text. He says, I'm mocked everywhere I go. He says, God, when you called me to preach, you didn't tell me that I wouldn't have any friends. You didn't tell me that I would sometimes have to stand alone. You didn't inform me that I would never be invited to any social events. You didn't tell me that I would be an outcast. He says to God, I'm a laughing stock every place I go. He says, he says, God, you really set me up to fail. He said, I was obedient to the call that you had on my life. And now, God, look where you have gotten me. Look where I am. Anybody ever feel like Jeremiah? I mean, you don't have to turn to your neighbor or anything, but anybody ever just feel like Jeremiah? You were obedient to the call that God had placed on your life, and you felt like saying to God, take it back. I'm just trying to be real with some real people. You ever feel like telling God, God, you called me to this thing, but God, you got the wrong person. You thought you were going to be like on Little House on the Prairie, but it turned out to be Nightmare on Elm Street. And you say to God, God, take it back. I didn't know, God, that when you elevated me, people would resent me. I didn't know, God, that when I came up with new ideas, that people would resist change. I didn't know, yeah, that my so-called friends would talk about me and say that now that I have my little title, I think I'm better than everybody. Lord, take it back! Can you feel Jeremiah's pain and frustration? Jeremiah said, every time somebody sees me preaching your word, they ridicule me. Allow me to point out that Jeremiah was serious about preaching God's word, because he understood how important preaching is. And my brothers and my sisters, preaching was so important that Jesus left his happy, comfortable home in glory, could not wait for Mary to get married, could not wait for a vacancy at the Bethlehem Inn. The Bible says preaching, it indicates preaching was so important that he came with the urgency, knowing that preaching would transform lives, that preaching would set the captives free, that preaching would bring about deliverance. Because the world is looking at the church in these last days, and they're asking the question, is there any word from the Lord? You got to understand that when people come looking for a word, they have the attitude, sing, choir. And I don't mind every now and then if you sing off key. They come pray, deacon. And I don't mind if your prayer is long and repetitious. They come testify, saints, even if I heard it last week. But preacher, when it's your turn, I pray that you listen to the Lord. When it's your turn, I pray that you study the text. When it's your turn, I pray that you got enough rest. Because I need a word from the Lord. I've come hurting, I've come broken, I've come confused, I've come empty, I've come, yeah, in despair, I've come suicidal, about to commit homicide. I need a word from the Lord. Preacher, when it's your turn, I don't need cute poetic phrases. I don't need ecclesiastical rhetoric. I don't need a sweet hoop with no substance. I need the unadulterated gospel of Christ Jesus. I don't need a motivational speech. I don't want to know your political views. I don't want to know what Oprah said. I don't want to know what Steve Harvey said. I don't want to know what Dr. Oz said. I want to know, is there word from the Lord? Ayana, you cannot fix my life, because first of all, you didn't give me life. David said, know that the Lord is God. It is he that has made us and not we ourselves. So don't shortchange me, preacher, when you take your text. I don't want to know what's on the surface. Give me the meat of the text. A matter of fact, I need you to break it down to the marrow of the text. That's how deep I need you to go. I need a word from the Lord. And I believe that's why the hymnologist sang, bread of heaven, feed me until I want no more. So it is. Jeremiah understood the importance of preaching. That's why folk were mad with Jeremiah. Because Jeremiah didn't sugarcoat the gospel. Jeremiah didn't pull any punches. He called the sin a sin. Jeremiah didn't care who tithed or who took care of the pastor's aid. Jeremiah just preached the unadulterated gospel. And nevertheless, he is now feeling the frustration of ministry. Jeremiah says, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Since folk don't appreciate me, he says, I'm going to stop preaching. I'm not going to mention his name anymore. I'm not going to speak in his name anymore. Jeremiah said, I'm going to give my license back. I'm going to take my minister's ordination certificate off the wall. Tell you, Jeremiah was frustrated and discouraged because he was preaching the true word of God, but it did not seem to be falling on good ground. He prophesied, but no one seemed interested. He taught, but nobody seemed to learn anything. He opened the doors of a church and nobody came running down the aisle saying, I yield, I yield. I can hold out no longer. The people undermined his prophetic office. So he was saying in essence that this is enough. I'm not preaching anymore. Then Jeremiah felt something. And I believe he felt something on the inside. That began to work on his outside. And I imagine that when Monday came, he was all right. He said, I'm still not preaching. But I believe when Tuesday came, it may have crossed his mind. He said, I'm not going to prepare a text. But then I believe when Wednesday came, started feeling something. And then when Thursday came, it was this fire that began to burn in him. And then when Friday and Saturday came, he had to take out the word. And then when Sunday came, he took his text and somebody said, Jeremiah, I thought you weren't going to do it. Jeremiah said, I couldn't help myself. It was like fire shut up in my bones. And I believe Jeremiah would say, hold on. I don't know about you, but I feel like going on. I can hear Jeremiah saying, I wasn't going to tell nobody about the goodness of God. I wasn't going to tell nobody that is God all by himself. I wasn't going to tell anybody that if you put your trust in him, he's able to turn your situation around. And I wasn't going to tell nobody, that God is a forgiving God. I wasn't going to tell nobody about justification. I wasn't going to tell nobody because I was mad, but something started to burn up in me. I wasn't going to tell nobody, but I just couldn't keep it to myself. Help me, Holy Ghost. But watch this. I'm coming in. It's here in verse 11 that Jeremiah's attitude changes. Jeremiah, after talking about those who are out to get him, he declares, he says, but the Lord is with me. It is as though Jeremiah's confidence in God is renewed. It is a possibility, that Jeremiah got encouraged on a flashback. Y'all gonna walk with me tonight. You ever get encouraged on a flashback? You begin to think that the same God that brought me through last week's storm is the same God that's able to bring me through this week. So Jeremiah says, but the Lord is with me. And I don't care what my enemies are planning. The Lord is with me. I don't care what my haters are saying. The Lord is with me. I don't care how deep the ditch diggers dig the ditch. The Lord is with me. And the fact of the business is the Lord is for you. He's more than a whole army against you. So it is Jeremiah goes from complaining to praising God. He says the Lord is with me. And my persecutors shall stumble. He said, not only will they stumble, but they're not going to win. Jeremiah was saying, I'm going to keep my hand in God's hand. I believe that Jeremiah was saying, I may be bent, but I'm not broken. I'm going to stand flat-footed and declare what thus said the Lord. Why you going to keep doing that, Jeremiah? I can hear Jeremiah saying, because I shall trust in the Lord. I don't know about you, my brothers and my sisters, but I feel like Jeremiah. Whatever comes my way, I will trust in the Lord. I don't know about you, but I know sometimes misery and ministry, it seems to go together. But I'm so glad, I said I'm so glad that I got a made up mind. I don't know about you, but I made up in my mind that I'm going all the way with Jesus. Is there anybody here that's going all the way? Is there anybody here that'll stand flat-footed and say, for God I'll live and for God I'll die, and I'll let nothing separate me from the love of God? I don't know about you, but I'm gonna keep telling the story. So Pastor Armstrong, I just stopped by Shiloh Baptist Church on my way to heaven to tell you to keep telling the story. You do tell the story, the redemption story. You gotta keep on telling it, no matter how many times you tell it, no matter how many times you say it. You gotta keep telling the story that it came down 42 generations. Yes, he did. Good evening, church. May the Lord bless you real good. You gotta tell the story. You gotta tell them how Jesus, how on his mother's side, he cried like a baby. But on his father's side, he wiped all tears away. On his mother's side, he smelled the roses. But on his father's side, he was the rose of Sharon. You gotta tell the story how on his mother's side, sometimes he needed a doctor. But on his father's side, he was the divine healer. On his mother's side, he got hungry sometimes. But on his father's side, he was the bread of life. On his mother's side, he got thirsty sometimes. But on his father's side, he was the living water. Yes, he was. On his mother's side, he was the firstborn. But on his father's side, he's the beginning and the end. He's the first and the last. On his mother's side, yeah, they hung him high and they stretched him wide. On his mother's side, he gave up the ghost and he died. I said he died. He died. The old preacher was saying, didn't he die? He died on Calvary Cross. But you can't leave him there. You gotta stay on his father's side. One Sunday morning, he got up. I said he got up. All power in his hand. Ain't he all right? Ain't he all right? Say yeah. 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 I got to leave you now. Good evening, church. May the Lord bless you real good. But you got to tell a story. And when they ask your pastor, pastor, why do you preach so hard? Why do you preach like you preach? You gotta tell him, because one day I see the lightning flash. Say, fight on. Is there anybody here that's gonna fight on? Yeah. He promised. I said he promised. Never to leave me alone. Shout yes. Sad, but in him, I found a resting place, and he has made me glad. I may be bent, but tell your neighbor, I'm not broken. Come on and put your hands together and give God praise. Come on, give God praise. Hallelujah. To God be the glory. Come on, everybody standing with permission from this pastor. Yes, sir. I want to extend the invitation.
Hallelujah.
For Christian discipleship. Hallelujah. Come on, you can keep on praising him. You can keep on praising him. Bless his name.
Hallelujah.
He's worthy. Look, he's worthy. The Bible says if we didn't praise him and we don't praise him, then the rocks will cry out. I don't know about you, but I don't need a rock to cry out for me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's worthy. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. I'm extending on this. I know it's the pastor's anniversary, but we would be remiss if we didn't extend the invitation for Christian discipleship. So as this choir sings the song of invitation, if you're not a part of the body of Christ, which is the called out crowd, which is the blood brought, which is the redeemed of the Lord, the bride of Christ, we invite you to come. We invite you to come on this pastoral anniversary. Will there be one? We're not going to take it for granted that everybody that came through these church doors are under the ark of safety. So the doors of God's church are open. And this invitation is especially for you. Hallelujah. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. Well, there'll be one. Maybe you came in with a friend. Maybe you just decided to come to church tonight, but you're not a part of the body of Christ. So we invite you to come tonight. Won't you come and give the deacon your hand and give God your heart? Hallelujah. You don't have to walk alone tonight. Somebody will walk with you. Hallelujah.
Oh, but I'm glad.
Hallelujah.
So glad he did.
With everyone. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. To God be the glory. to God be the glory. With everyone, tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.